And so we continue on to our second Sunday of Lent. First Sunday being the altar. And Lent, unity also is teaches a traditional component, metaphysically, which is the purification, the cleansing of your consciousness so that you can prepare for your truth, for your Christ self. And so Charles Fillmore, in his book Keep a True Lent, gave not only daily exercises, but an exercise for each Sunday. And so when I talk about the second Sunday and the theme for Sunday, it comes from the book Keep a True Lent. The altar, we found out last week, was all about that preparation, that place within yourself, that altar within yourself where you commune with God, where you actually are, you are being there, one with and as God. But you know, sometimes in our evolution, as we are cleansing out the cobwebs and the thoughts of our past that seem to be our reality, at times it's hard for us to come to the fact that we are communing with the presence of pure being, and that in that presence, in that being, that we are also recognizing ourselves, because we're so stuck in this world, which is why the Lenten season is so beautiful. And so today we move forward in something very important, in the creation of the beauty of the truth of who we are, and in the miracles that we want to create in this world, as our world, for ourselves and for others. And it's imagination. And of course, if anyone knows Gladys Knight and the Pips, I got this title from this. I gotta use my imagination. For some reason, it kept flipping through. And I chose not to at the last minute to ask Roger and the band to try to sing it. You could have, in between services, Roger. I don't know if you guys heard, Roger said, we could have pulled it off. You see, now, yeah, I want to, yeah, so Deb, I got to use my imagination. The reality is that we always use our imagination, but we don't know it. The reality also is that we also have this false illusion that imagination is imagery. Thank you, dear heart. And that because we think of imagination as imagery, we think of it as this fairy tale of illusions, of unreality. And in reality, the fact is that we desperately need our imagination to create anything in this world. And in any of the dictionaries, it talks about imagination. It is accepted as the innate ability and process of inventing partial or complete personal realms within the mind from elements derived from sense perceptions of the shared world. It is accepted as the innate ability and its ability to process of inventing partial. Those are the words, inventing partial or complete. Complete personal realms within yourself. So I get it. It's like, well, if I'm creating personal realms within myself, isn't that imagery? Don't I use imagery? Isn't that unreal? The reality is that until we envision something, we cannot create it in this reality. Jesus couldn't create the miracles unless he knew not only his relationship and communication with God through the altar, but if he couldn't see it and didn't believe it, he wouldn't have been able to achieve it. And until we not only believe in it and can see it within our minds, see it within our imaginations, nothing, no thing will become made or will be made manifest in this earthly realm. I loved what Deborah is saying and what she created for this. And I am, my own writing. It's something about I am willing to see through God's loving eyes. And I love that because the reality is our imagination, our out pictures of God's images coming through us. See, that's what we're here to do, is to be at the altar, come to a place where we are communing and communicating, and most importantly, listening and accepting that realm of being God, so that God's images, God's words for our greatness, for heaven here on earth, can be moving through us. Because we are the hands. We are the expression of God, only if we choose to be. And so it is the God images that are coming through us, that we then take our hands, take our hearts, take our minds, take our mouths, and to create. It's difficult, I think, for those to really trust imagination, because it isn't something that is here in the made manifest already. It's hard to trust in something that we don't see, taste, and feel right here, right now. But beloveds, it is so important to realize that right here, right now, you wouldn't be able to do anything. Because as Albert Einstein said, the world will not evolve past its current state of crises by using the same thinking that created the situation. See, that is the situation that we continue to find ourselves in. I think that is actually also the definition of being... Yes. Mentally unstable. Doing the same things over and over and over again and expecting a different result. The reality is that we need to recognize our stinking thinking, the images that are unwise, untrue, are not of our best, and release and let go of that so that the images in our mind can create beauty, can create love, so that we can use our spiritual imagination to receive our blessings. So there are two levels of spiritual imagination. The first is that human ability that what is called, and Charles Fillmore likes to use this in his writing a lot, the faculty. It's that part of us that traffics in images, symbols, myths, and stories. It is the capacity we all have by innovative thinking and creative expression. Innovative thinking and creative expression. Charles Fillmore puts it like this: God gives to his image the power to express all that he is. This not only includes man's ability to think, but also the power to shape and form thought. This formative power of thought requires a distinctive faculty, which is called the imagination. To Deborah's words, God gives to his image the power to express all that he is. Beloveds, his image, can you tell me who you think or what you think his image is? What is God's image? Everything, which is love, which is spirit. And most importantly, who is a part of everything? Us. That is what I was getting to. He created his image in the likeness of God, and he made man, woman. God gives to us the power to express all that God is. This not only includes man's ability to think, but also the power to shape and form thought. And this formative power of thought requires a distinctive faculty, which is called the imagination. The imagination is essential for us to tap into the spiritual component, to be able to hear and listen to God's images, God's truth for us, so that we can make it manifest in this world. And how important is it that we finally connect to the spiritual truths that are out there versus our own man-made fears that we continue to make manifest in this world for darkness, for fear. Yes, everything is God's creation. Those things are a misuse of God's power when we use it for fear, when we use it to destroy, when we use it for lack and limitation. No, we are here to be empowered and brought up by the presence of God. The second component of imagination is an inner reality, a boundless realm, not defined by our senses or reason or intellectual reason. It is an infinite potential. This practice of imagination encourages us to use this ability and entails us to explore the realm of possibilities. This language of imagination allows us to have images come through our mind. And we can pick and choose which images we like. But too many times we have these, and I'll use what are called dreams or goals, these beautiful dreams or goals that come into our imagination. And most of the time, these beautiful ones, especially the extraordinary ones, those miraculous ones, in our power to choose and image them, we seem to say, no, that can't happen. We say no to God a lot. I don't know within yourself if you ever notice how many times we say no, can't do it, no, can't happen. Or we say no to someone else's power, someone else's dreams, someone else's goals. There's a story that I adore, and I think I told this a little while back, a couple years ago. It's about Monty Roberts. When Monty Roberts was a little boy, about in third grade, he had an assignment that he had to do. And it was talking about what is his dream? What does he want to do when he grows up? And so Monty wrote this beautiful assignment about how he wanted to own horses and wanted to be a ranch and train horses. And it was a beautiful beautiful story that he was very proud of. A couple weeks later, he and the rest of his class got their papers back. And in excitement, Monty looked at his paper, and what he saw was a big F at the top of the paper. And red at that, big red F. How many of you guys can identify with those big old scary red? And so Monty, in disbelief, went to the teacher. He had the courage to go to the teacher, and he said, "Why didn't I get an F?" And the teacher said, "Come to me after class." So Monty anxiously awaited, and after class he went and he said, "Sir, why did you give me an F?" And the teacher said, "Because this is an unrealistic goal. There's no way that you could ever own horses, have a ranch because of who you are. You don't have any money. Your family's poor. Yes, your father is a trainer. He goes back and forth. But there's no way a kid like you could ever fulfill this goal, this dream. You go home and you write a more realistic dream for your life." Well, heartbroken, holding back tears, Monty goes home, takes his paper, and he goes to his father. And the boy, he thought about what the teacher said, and he asked the father what he should do. His father said, "Look, son, you have to make up your own mind on this one. However, I think it is probably the most important decision you have to make." And so Monty labored over thinking about this, what his father said, what his teacher said. And he only had until next week to get the new paper back to the teacher. And finally, that day came. Monty had made his decision. And he handed his paper back in to the teacher. And on the top, above the F, Monty wrote, "You can keep your F. I'm keeping my dream." You can keep your F. I'm keeping my dream. Many, many years later, as Monty in his 8,000 square foot ranch, several hundred acres of land with stables and horses, he looks at that paper framed above his fireplace. Thanking goodness that he didn't listen to that teacher. And lo and behold, actually, because Monty remembered that experience, his service to man, his service to children, were never to allow anyone else, any parent, any teacher, to steal their dreams. And so he would invite youth from the city, from the rural area, to come to the ranch so he could tell his story and show them that their dreams are possible, not to allow some dream stealer to take their dreams away. That it wasn't just probable, it was possible. And lo and behold, one day, that same dream-stealing teacher that tried to steal his dreams so long ago brought 30 students in. And Monty loved and was able and appreciated the fact that this teacher came. And he did the same thing. He showed the kids around. He gave a speech and he said, "Don't allow anyone to steal your dreams." And as the teacher and the students were leaving, the teacher came up to Monty and said, "Monty, thank you for teaching me. Because it wasn't only you that I tried to steal dreams. I stole dreams from a lot of children. But you taught me never, never, ever to judge anybody, but only to support and give fruit to that divine dream that was implanted in you, and to allow you to know that you can do anything. And that is," the teacher says, "what I am doing now." And so many of us, within our imaginations, and I'm not talking daydreams. Daydreams are fine. Daydreams can be fruitful. I'm talking about actual things that say, wow, a passion within my mind that says, that's feeding me, that I can't shake loose, that I envision a great scenario within my mind, whether it's a new career, whether it's this particular career and a promotion, or maybe you want to do something better in the career. Maybe it's a relationship or relationships or better relationships with your spouse and family. Whatever this is that is bringing you passion, if it's bringing you that much passion, it is an image from the loving eyes of God ripping off Deborah Berger. That is a vision from the loving eyes of God that God is implanting with you and utilizing your imagination so that you now can see the image that is waiting there, ready for you. Just do it. So what is the important practice of this? This practice is that you can't achieve anything without using your imagination. Now, I will tell you one thing. I love this quote. "Do not worry, because worry is a misuse of your imagination." I love her uh-ohs. Perfect timing. Yeah, uh-oh. Because that is a misuse of your imagination. I invite you to remember that your imagination is what God's use is God's want for you. It is you being the hands and feet of God. And I apologize. I had a little video that I wanted to show you, but I do want to leave you with these words from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And I forgot to bring my phone up. And I'm talking about the Gene Wilder version. Yeah. Because this is what your imagination is about. It's about pure imagination. Do many of you guys know, remember the song from our childhood? I love that song too. So I promise you I will not try to sing it, but just kind of listen to the melody as I read the words. There's a verbal spoken thing that says, where Willy Wonka tells everyone to hold your breath, make a wish, count to three. It says, "Come with me, and you will be in a world of pure imagination." Stephanie, you might have to come up here and sing it. Take a look. No, you sounded beautiful. Take a look. and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do, do it. Want to change the world? There's nothing to it. There is life, I know. To compare with pure imagination, living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be. It's a chat. Oh, it was Carrie. Sorry, I had my glasses off. Sorry, Carrie. And thank you, Stephanie, for throwing the actual. You know, those are Willy Wonka is a simple movie, but how pure words can that be? Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Really, this whole world is pure imagination. It is the makings up of pure imagination. It is your imaging coming to fruition. It's what you think, it's what you feel coming to fruition. But if you want a world that is filled with paradise, i.e. if you want heaven here on earth, right here, right now, in the present moment, it is here. All you have to do is open your eyes and experience it. Because right here, right now, we look at this world as darkness, but there are so many sweet things in this world. There's so much to be appreciative of. The world is perfect. There are some imperfections, but it can only be what it is right now. And if we want to see, if we want to see and live in a world where everyone is happy, where we are free, then we must accept within our imagination, within our mind's eyes, that I choose to be free. I envision freedom, and it will happen. So your homework, I haven't given homework in a long time. It's for you to take a piece of paper or two. And on your paper, write down your visions, your dreams, your goals. And I'm talking about not just the ones that are like, oh, I like, I don't know, to be able to, nothing like, I mean that it's impassioning you, that something that has been burning in your heart and your mind, that you keep pushing off, that you keep being your own dream stealer. Stop it. Write it down. Pull up the lyrics of Pure Imagination, Willy Wonka. Start reading it to yourself. Start saying it to yourself. Start believing in yourself. And know that once you change your imagination, your world and this world will be as beautiful as you believe it is. And with that, let us say our affirmation for this week together. I now use the gift of imagination to envision a life made anew. I think that is Roger's Twitter version of it. And let's say it again. I now use the gift of imagination to envision a life made anew. Let's all envision a life made anew, yes? Thank you, everyone.